3. Imperial Palace, City of Talisburg, Kingdom of Old Karas.
"So it went well, did it?" Sir Regis Yowance asked.
"Yes, my lord, very well," Merlin Athrawus replied with a smile. He and Earl Grey Harbour were alone in the Earl's office in Talisburg Palace, and, despite his smile, Merlin found himself once again regretting the fact that they dared not tell Grey Harbour the entire truth. He knew it bothered Caleb and Charlian as well, just as it bothered them in Baron Green Mountain's case. It wasn't simply that not telling their two most senior counselors prevented them from getting the best out of two very able men's advice and counsel either. What really bothered them, and Merlin, was that they felt as if they were sneaking around behind the backs of men who were also friends, confidants. In Green Mountain's case, a second father even, at least in Charlian's case. Because of that, Merlin was particularly happy Grey Harbour, at least, knew about Sage and Merlin's visions. The Earl had also adjusted quite well to the notion that there might be additional Sagens scattered around Safehold. He even accepted Merlin's explanation, truthful as far as it went, that all those other Sagens and Merlin himself were part of an organization which had been carefully concealed for many years. Merlin figured 900 years qualified as many, and given how many personalities he seemed to be developing, calling himself an owl an organization didn't seem too outrageous, until its members finally believed there was an opportunity to do something about the church's corruption. Of course, there weren't a huge number of those Sagens, but his acceptance of their existence had let him take things like the suddenly increased reasonableness of King Gorgia's clandestine correspondence in stride. It had also prepared him to accept that Merlin's associates in Coruscant were in a position to tell Anvil Rock and Vice General Cherman when the proper time to move against the Northern Conspiracy arrived. And he didn't have any problem accepting Merlin's vision of how well the raid had gone. "I'm glad," Merlin thought affectionately as he smiled at the First Counselor. "And not just because it means we can call on his insight where both Coruscant and Taro are concerned, either. I like Regis, and this feels good."
"So they got Stormkeep and Chalair," Grey Harbour said now, leaning back in his chair with a smile of his own. In fact, he actually allowed himself to rub his hands together in satisfaction, and Merlin chuckled.
"Garvai and his men took both of them into custody," he confirmed. "I think he and Howell were wise to decide he'd do most of the arresting, at least of our more prominent suspects, too. It gave the rest of Stormkeep's supporters a lot less chance to whip up some kind of resistance to the Carizian oppressors before their reinforcements could land. Of course, it helped that they had a list of all of the more important supporters actually in Talitha." His smile turned into a rather nasty grin. "They grabbed almost all of them in the first pounce as well."
"And the weapons?"
"Major Porter secured the warehouses without firing a shot, and the rifles were still in the Zebedean shipping crates, even if the crates were labeled as general hardware. Funny how the cargo and custom manifests in both Talitha and Zebediah didn't catch that little error."
"A most unfortunate oversight, I'm sure," Grey Harbour agreed with a grin, which was just as nasty as Merlin's.
"And it's going to be most unfortunate for Zebediah in oh so many ways," Merlin thought cheerfully. "The customs manifests, his correspondence with Craggy Hill and Earl Swale, and that unfortunate business with the serial numbers."
The one real problem with going after Stormkeep first had been that while the weapons had been landed in Talitha, Zebediah's incriminating correspondence was still in Craggy Hill safe in Valena. On the other hand, Valena was far enough inland that any operation against Craggy Hill would have to be mounted overland, with, unfortunately, ample time for him to realize it was coming. Since it would be virtually impossible to achieve surprise in his case, Caleb and Charlian had decided it was more important to scoop up the weapons before they could be dispersed, especially if they could grab Shalaire at the same time. They'd recognized that Craggy Hill would almost certainly learn what had happened in Talitha in time to dispose of any incriminating documents before he himself could be arrested, but they'd been willing to accept that for several reasons. One was the importance of getting their hands on Shalaire and seizing the weapons, but another was that they didn't really need the correspondence between Craggy Hill and Zebediah to prove the Grand Duke's complicity. Edward Hausman had adopted a novel practice which had since spread to the majority of old Carisian manufactories, assigning serial numbers to items he produced. It had been customary for centuries to use maker's marks, and arbalists, matchlocks, and artillery pieces had carried proof marks as well. But Hausman, at the suggestion of a certain Sajan Merlin, had begun stamping actual serial numbers into things like musket barrels, sword blades, breastplates, and cannon. In fact, he'd extended the practice to everything he manufactured.